All right, we've got a tyranny alert here involving the ATF and what are called arm braces. The ATF is reportedly proposing new rules. I've actually looked at the rules, although they're very difficult to decode. But they've got new rules that are going to go into play, apparently, even though nobody wants them. But the ATF, of course, is run by, well, unelected bureaucrats, just like the FDA or the DEA or the FCC, for that matter. They seem to just make up whatever rules they want. But they are about to criminalize millions of Americans who purchased arm braces or firearms with arm braces, which would be pistols with, well, really they're called stabilization braces, but just arm braces, you know, in general. But millions of Americans purchased these firearms, these pistols with arm braces, and they're about to be turned into felons if they don't, well, follow some rather difficult remedies, including registering your new SBRs, as they're going to be called, short-barreled rifles, with the ATF so that the federal government can build a federal database of everybody that owns one of these new SBRs. I mean, I know it sounds complicated and it is crazy. I want to give you some information here that's highly relevant to this. First of all, there's a group that is politically fighting against this. It's called the Firearms Regulatory Accountability Coalition, FRAC. And you can see their website at fracaction.org. And I encourage you to go there, fracaction.org. The headline on their website is that, quote, businesses deserve a fair and predictable regulatory and legal environment. Well, exactly, because the ATF has already issued several letters over the past several years saying that these arm braces are perfectly legal, that they do not turn a pistol into a short-barreled rifle, and that they're legal to sell, legal to ship, legal to own. They don't have to be serialized and so on. You can just buy these things online. Even you can right now, by the way. You can still buy these arm braces online right now at various gun retailers or, you know, brick-and-mortar retailers. So they're perfectly legal right now, but about to be made illegal and retroactively, I suppose, confiscated, or people might be arrested for something they bought that was perfectly legal when they bought it. How insane is that? So yeah, check out fracaction.org. And they're also seeking donations if you want to help support them financially. One of the manufacturers of these arm braces is called SB Tactical. Their website is SB, as in Sierra Bravo-Tactical.com. And they also talk about the ATF proposed rule change. Now, I want to give you a quick heads up of what's in these rules and also kind of give you my best assessment of what the remedies might be based on what the ATF is about to push out there. Now, these rules have not yet, to my knowledge, been published. I believe they're going to be published soon. And it looks like, according to news from Ammoland.com and other locations online, it looks like the ATF is going to offer some kind of a, quote, amnesty program, where everybody who has a pistol with an arm brace can register it, you know, hand over your information, your address, and a photo of the firearm and the arm brace, and you got to get a tax stamp. Normally, those are $200 each. There's a rumor they might waive that for this amnesty period, whatever, however long that lasts, nobody knows yet. But then everybody has to turn themselves in, essentially, to the ATF, which is a violation of your Fifth Amendment rights, by the way. The ATF is requiring that you confess against yourself, I suppose. And then the arm braces, you're going to have amnesty for the arm braces. But then they're going to have a record of all the firearms you own that have those arm braces, which they will now call short-barreled rifles, SBRs. So here's my reaction to this, but understand that personally, and you know this about me because you've seen me, I have firearms videos online and reviews of which firearms are best for self-defense, which firearms are best for women. And by the way, some of the arm brace firearms are really great for women because they tend to have a much shorter length of pull, by the way, than the typical regular rifles. And also the AR pistols are great for women because the barrels aren't as long. And a lot of women have trouble with the long barrels because of how heavy it is pulling them forward and down. So, you know, this proposed new law from the ATF is going to hurt women, especially women who are a little bit on the older side and don't have a lot of upper body strength. This is going to make it very hard for women to defend themselves. So that's one of the frustrating things about this. But as you know from all the videos I've posted, I'm a stickler for abiding by gun laws. So as you know, I say this in every video, I never encourage anybody to do anything illegal. And all the gear that I have is 100% legal. And some of the gear I have is with the permission of the ATF, by the way, because, you know, I go through the proper procedures if I'm going to own something like a suppressor. I don't own any short-barreled rifles, by the way. I've never bothered to, you know, register one or try to acquire one like that. So I just don't have any SBRs. But I do have pistols with arm braces. And, you know, again, they serve a very important purpose and a legal purpose. And I've always said, keep your firearms legal, right? There's no reason, you know, you don't have to go sneak around and get a full auto or something or risk going to jail over, I don't know, some illegal trigger or something like that. So I'm a stickler for following the rules on firearms, which means, frustratingly, that if the ATF publishes this new rule, and that means they're going to start enforcing this new rule, that people like you and I are going to have to abide by these rules. You know, until the lawsuits go, I'm sure they'll be sued. They'll be sued by all kinds of Second Amendment organizations. They'll be sued by states, probably. There might even be states that would nullify this ATF rule, possibly. But the feds might then say, well, it's our rule anyway. We can go into your state and arrest anybody we want. You know, there might be a battle between the states, you know, 10th Amendment type of battle or a nullification type of battle. But while all that is working itself out, which is going to take years, my advice is do not violate the ATF published rules. Just play it safe. That's what I intend to do. Play it safe. Whatever rules they publish, even if I disagree with those rules, I'm going to have to comply with those rules in terms of the gear. Now, you don't have to register your firearm, according to what's been published so far, if you do these other possible things. So we're going to go through those possible things here in a second. But I want you to understand the new published rules have a kind of a score sheet where they look at your pistol and your arm brace, and there's points that it's given for different characteristics, like do you have a hand stop on it or a forward grip? Like a forward grip, according to the ATF, proves that you intend to use it with two hands, you know, that it's not a pistol anymore, right? In their logic. Does it have sights on it that can't be used in the way that you hold a pistol, for example? Like, do these sights only function if you're shouldering the weapon? Basically, they're saying that if you have a certain number of points on the scorecard, that you, quote, intend to shoulder the weapon, which means that in the ATF's view that it's a short-barreled rifle or an SBR, not a pistol. All right, so that's their opinion. That's their analysis. And by the way, don't take any of this as legal advice. Make sure you talk to your own gun lawyers and get your own legal advice. And it may vary state by state, obviously. And this is just my own analysis. So I'm not your lawyer. I can't tell you what's right or what's wrong. I'm just trying to give you information about what the ATF is planning on doing. But the ATF intends to interpret most AR pistols or even AK pistols as SBRs. And they have all kinds of different things on this scorecard, like how much it weighs and what's the length of pull, which is the distance between the trigger and the end of the buttstock and so on. They've got all these different scoring systems, like the shape of the stabilizing support element. They have here, like, is it a fin-type design? Is it a cuff-type design? Is it a split stock? It's got attachment methods, peripheral accessories, hand straps, secondary grip, bipod, monopod, all this stuff. Anyway, if the firearm scores too many points, which apparently is only 4, then it's considered an SBR by the ATF. Okay, so that's what they're going to push out there. And that's going to probably encompass almost all of the pistols out there with arm braces. I mean, that's how this is going to turn out to be, probably. So, in essence, they're trying to criminalize like 4 or 5 million Americans who already own these arm braces. Now, the ATF apparently gives you five possible remedies, at least as these rules are written. Okay, I'm going to go through these remedies. Just understand, this may not be the final list, but this is what the ATF says so far. Remedy number one, you can permanently remove or alter the stabilizing brace so that it cannot be reattached, thus converting the firearm back to its original pistol configuration. So when they're saying permanently remove the stabilizing brace, the arm brace, what does that mean to permanently remove it? I mean, if you just remove it, and if in your mind you say, well, that I'm never going to put that back on, is that permanent? Can it be a mental decision, kind of like transgenderism? I'm self-identifying as someone who will never put this arm brace back onto that pistol. Is that how it works? Is that what the ATF is asking for? Or is there something else you have to do to permanently... I mean, how do you permanently remove something? They don't explain, to my knowledge, but they're saying that if you exercise this option, it means the pistol is no longer equipped with the stabilizing brace, and therefore it's no longer subject to the SBR rule, okay? So that's option one. I still don't know exactly what it means. But if they're just saying, hey, remove the arm braces, I'm like, okay, remove the arm braces. I mean, it's like one screw, you know, or one, Allen wrench bolt or whatever. Just here, unscrew it, take it off. Okay, now it complies. It's no longer, a violation of the arm brace rules. Now I have this separate arm brace over here. Then I have this pistol over here. They're not attached. Is that good enough? No, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Option number two, they're saying that you could take this firearm and remove the short barrel, which is the pistol barrel. Often they're 8 inches or 10 or 12 inches or what have you. And then attach a 16-inch or longer barrel to the firearm. And they say that would remove it from the provisions of the NFA. In other words, it's no longer a short. It's not a pistol anymore, obviously. And it's not short. It's not an SBR. So what they're saying is you can have a 16-inch barrel and your arm brace. And they're okay with that. And that's what they're saying, at least so far. Okay. But that means everybody's got to go out and buy, 16-inch uppers or barrels. Probably a complete upper with the 16-inch barrel. So then we all got to run out and buy 16-inch barrels. And then have you ever removed a barrel from an AR-15 style firearm? It's not crazy difficult, but it takes some strength, by the way. You got to have a good gun vise, and you got to have the right tools, and it takes time, it's effort. It's just a pain in the butt. It's much harder than adding or removing other things. The barrel is, the most tightly attached item. And not all the barrels are fully compatible with all the pistols, by the way. So there's a question there. Option number three, they say, is destroy the firearm. And then the ATF is going to publish information regarding the proper destruction on its website. So they're going to give you instructions how to destroy your firearms. Yeah, that's going to go over real well, huh? They think everybody in the country that after we've all been called, by the way, essentially enemies of the state by the Biden regime, just for believing in the Second Amendment, just for being Christians or for people who still support Trump or what have you, do you think the government's going to destroy their firearms? No, they're just telling you destroy your firearms, and conveniently they're going to give you instructions for how to do that. It's kind of like the way they tell you to keep on getting more vaccine boosters too, right? I mean, if you're dumb enough to get boosted, you might be dumb enough to like set your gun on fire or something to comply with the ATF. Normally the ATF rules, by the way, require you to cut your gun at certain angles, like, slice it this way. Remember what they did that with the bump stocks? Remember that? They're like, if you cut it like this and like that, and you cut an X in it, and then it's in four pieces, then, it's considered legal now. They'll probably do that with the firearms. I'm not sure, but I guess that's what they're going to do. Yeah, if you just want to destroy all your firearms, then the ATF has a way for you to do that. Option number four, you can also turn in the firearm to your local ATF office. Seriously, that's option number four. You're supposed to just walk into the ATF office with a gun in a case or something. They probably don't want you to just like carry it out in the open. You might get shot. So you would have it, I guess, in a case or some kind of carrier. And then you're supposed to just walk in, say, hey, ATF, hey, guys who want to take all our guns, here, have these guns. Here you go. And some of these guns obviously are worth thousands of dollars. So what the heck? They're not even paying you anything for the guns. And you know they're going to sell these, right? They're either going to send them to Ukraine, which is what they're doing in the gun buyback programs, or somebody's going to end up selling these back on the streets, you know, to gangbangers and drug runners and hoodlums and whatever. You know that's where most of these guns end up, right? When the DEA gets their hands on them too, is they just end up back on the streets. Because they have value, you know? And frankly, if you were thinking of turning in a firearm to the ATF, if that was what you want to do, I would say a better option would be to destroy it, but that's not a good option either. You know, I think the best option, just put a 16-inch barrel on it. That seems to be the best option, or maybe just take off the arm brace. Anyway, they give you option four, which is just give them your guns. And then option five is you can fill out the form one with the ATF that says it's an application to make and register a firearm, in effect, an SBR, and you pay them $200 for a tax stamp, and then you wait, and you wait, and you wait. Probably going to be 5 years waiting because they're going to have so many of these. But normally it's only like a year or something like that. And then you pay them $200 per firearm, and then they give you a tax stamp, and then you now have an SBR with a tax stamp. So that's option five. So in other words, the only two reasonable options here are number one, remove the arm brace, or number two, swap out the barrel to a 16-inch barrel. Those are the only two options. I mean, that seem reasonable to me. But you know, some of these firearms, like I've got this SIG, it's like an MP5 type of clone. I think it's called it's an MPX. I think that's it. 9mm. I mean, it's a little compact pistol with an arm brace. I think the barrel's like 4 inches or something. It's really short. And, you know, perfectly legal, right? Because everything I own was acquired legally. How am I supposed to put a 16-inch barrel on that thing? That's going to be all lopsided and bizarre. What am I supposed to do with that? I mean, that I don't even think you can't get a 16-inch barrel for that thing. I mean, Sig Sauer doesn't even make a 16-inch barrel option for that. So I guess I'm going to have to just disassemble them, you know, and just, there it is. It's all disassembled, like have it in a box or something. Or maybe the ATF would say, well, you know, you have to store the arm brace separate from the pistol, you know. The arm brace has to be at least 25 feet away in a different box, you know, hoping you lose track of it, which is certainly possible. Pretty much all gunsmiths have way too many parts and like can't keep track of them. So it's going to be this mad chaos situation where you're like, well, okay, I got these former pistols with arm braces, took them all apart. Now all the parts are all mixed up. Like they're totally unusable. Can't even figure out how they go back together again. Not that you even could put them back together again, because that would be a violation of the ATF rules, right? So basically they're going to render people's guns just totally useless and worthless and unusable, which is, again, that's another assault on America's self-defense, because a lot of people purchase these firearms, these pistols with arm braces. They bought them legally for home defense type of scenarios, or, you know, road defense, like in your RV or in your camper or in your truck or what have you. And a lot of these are really great for self-defense in a vehicle because they're so short. Where have you ever tried to wield a 16-inch barrel, a regular rifle, inside a vehicle? Man, it's too long. It's unwieldy. You can't maneuver that thing. These pistols are so much better, even with the arm braces. And some of them have folding arm braces, which is even better. So, you know, the other thing to keep in mind in all this is, obviously, the ATF doesn't expect criminals to comply with even one of these five things. It's not like criminals are going to be going through this list like, what can I do to comply? No, they're criminals, man. they're probably felons in the first place. You know, they probably got the gun by killing somebody or buying it illegally off the street or what have you. They're not going to comply with these rules. So once again, these ATF rules are only going to harm law-abiding citizens who are engaged in what they're trying to do is legal self-defense acquisition of tools to protect their families, to protect themselves, to protect their property, or to protect their communities. That's the only people who are going to be hurt by this are law-abiding citizens. So I want to encourage you, go to that fracaction.org website. That's fracaction.org. Go there. You can contact your officials through that website. Contact your senators, contact your representatives in the House, contact your governor and your AG, and tell them this is insane. Why are we, the law-abiding citizens, being punished or even turned into felons for things that we purchased legally over the last, I don't know, 10 years or so or more? We bought these things legally, myself included. I own pistols with arm braces. You know, I'm perfectly legal, just want to have something for self-defense. So what are we supposed to do now, all of us? This is unfair on the part of the ATF to issue an opinion on one hand, oh yeah, these are legal, perfectly legal, everybody can own them, no problem, and then turn around and say, oh, now you're a felon. And we're going to selectively enforce that against conservatives, of course. That's what's coming. That's why people like myself, by the way, who are outspoken, we have to be very much compliant with these rules, because you know we're the kind of people they're going to target first. You know, they're going to be like, show us your guns. Make sure they comply. Do the scorecard. Like, oh, the 2 points for this, 1 point for that, you know? For me, I'm just going to put a 16-inch barrel probably on everything that I can. And anything else, I'm just going to, that I can't find a barrel for 16 inches, I don't know, I'm just going to take it apart. It's not like I'm using these things every day anyway. You know, I got a handgun that I carry. You know, I got a couple of different rifles responding on the ranch. You know, a couple different shotguns, depending on what kind of crazy animal is out there at the moment that's attacking my chickens. You know, is it a raccoon? Is it a snake? Is it a falcon? You know, no, actually, I have not shot any falcons, but I was tempted one time because one of them killed my chickens. But nope, I did not shoot the falcon. I held my fire. I was like, oh, this dang falcon is killing my chickens. But I think the falcon is probably more important than my chicken. Anyway, that was just my assessment at the time. But, you know, I have different guns for different things, which is what every rancher, every farmer has different rifles. You know, you have a little 22 rifle, then you have an AR, and you got a 308 maybe. You got something a little heavier duty. You got a 12-gauge shotgun. You got a 20-gauge shotgun. You got a rifle set up for night shooting, rifle set up for day shooting, and so on and so forth. I mean, that's in rural living in America, that's normal. That's all normal. None of that is weird. And then, well, what about self-defense in your vehicle? That's where the arm braces and the pistols come in real handy. So people who are working on self-defense and want to be safe, you know, and want to help their community stay safe, they're probably going to be riding with a pistol, with an arm brace maybe, in their vehicle where it's legal. You know, again, follow your local laws, I always say. But this is all normal behavior, folks. And, you know, tens of millions of Americans are armed every day, mostly stopping crimes. You know, stopping mass shooters, stopping criminals, stopping thieves, stopping rapists. And yet, law-abiding citizens get no credit. Law-abiding citizens get targeted and punished by the ATF for doing the right thing. So that's my take on the situation, folks. I'll just say, you know, publicly, I'm going to, whatever these rules say, however insane they are, personally, I'm going to comply with them. Because that's, you know, that's just the way I roll. I'll wait for the lawsuits. In the meantime, I'll comply. I'll just put on 16-inch barrels. It's fine. Or, I don't know, disassemble and lose all the parts. Can't find them anyway. I got too much gear. I'm not even talking about just guns. I got all these solar generators. I got all these knives. I've got all these interchangeable blades. I got, like, first aid equipment. You know, I do gear reviews. It's part of what I do. I've got all these supplements. I've got all this string. I just got this new shipment of ultra high molecular weight polyethylene cord, which is this braided cord. I got a bunch of that stuff. And I got to do strength tests on camera. Somehow I got to figure out how to rig this up with weights until it breaks, you know, to prove how much it can hold. I've got way too much gear, folks. I can't believe I'm saying that, but it's because when I try to review something, I usually buy like 15 of the things to review. Like, I've got all these solar powered hand crank wind up radios that I intend to review here shortly, and I bought too many of them, you know. And you wouldn't believe how many water filters I owned. Of course, that's part of my lab analysis. I've got like 30 water filters, but again, I intend to test them for the removal of radioisotopes, right? In case of nuclear fallout. So I'm testing water filters for removing cesium-137. Not that I have any cesium-137. I'm going to be using a stable isotope, cesium-133, I believe, for that. Just normal, you know, regular cesium. But I'm testing radiation removal. I've got all these dang water filters all over the place. Man, well, I tell you what, when it all hits the fan, there's going to be a whole bunch of churches that are going to be thrilled to get a bunch of this stuff, because I'll just be handing it out to fellow Texans. There's like all kinds of survival gear. You need some, you need some, you need some. Here you go. Because I've got more than enough. And, you know, God has blessed me with the ability to acquire all this stuff and review it and try to find out what works and what doesn't work. And then whatever I don't need is going to go to somebody else. That's just the way I roll. But same thing's kind of true. I got a bunch of weapon lights. I got a bunch of optics. I've even acquired a lot of different kind of handguns, for example, and different types of pistols to see what works and what doesn't work and what totally sucks. And I found a lot of stuff that sucks that you haven't seen because I didn't bother to put it on there. I've got some revolvers that are just horrible. But I don't sell guns to anybody else, so I don't know what to do with them. I don't want to throw them away. I'm not a gun dealer, so I don't sell them. I just hold on to crap. It's like, got this 38 special revolver. It's just the worst thing in the world. You can't hit anything with it. At least I can't. I don't know why. I'm really good with other pistols, but these revolvers are just jumping all over the place. I'm used to the slide absorbing some of the recoil or something. I don't know. But that's just me. Maybe you're a sharpshooter with a snub-nosed revolver, but I'm not. Anyway, bottom line, folks, pay attention to this. If you have a pistol with an arm brace, pay attention, because you're about to be turned into a possible felon, it looks like, you know, around December of this year. So you're going to want to probably watch that and swap out that barrel with a 16-inch barrel, or maybe permanently remove the stabilizing brace, whatever that means. I'm not sure how you permanently remove it. Still, I'm racking my brain. I don't know what that means. I know how to remove it. I don't know how to make that permanent. Should I set fire to the arm brace? I can do that. Can I set fire to the arm brace and send a photo to the ATF and like, done? Is that okay? Or why should I have to do that? Why should I have to become an arsonist in order to appease the ATF? To prove to them that I destroyed the stuff that I bought legally that they said was legal 2 years ago, and now they're saying it's illegal, so I got to set fire to it? Doesn't that violate some kind of environmental codes? To melting arm brace plastic with gasoline or something? Wouldn't the fire marshal have an issue with that? Could you be arrested as an arsonist for trying to comply with the ATF by setting fire to your stabilizing braces? How are you supposed to get rid of it exactly? I guess they're going to tell us. All right. Well, let's hope to God this rule doesn't get published like that. Let's hope to God there's a lot of pushback, because it's insane. How about they just outlaw criminals? Oh, wait, they've already done that. That's right. Being a criminal is illegal. Murdering somebody is illegal. Robbing, raping, looting, it's all illegal. Assault. Why don't they go after the criminals? Why don't they say, oh, felons can't have these guns? Oh, wait, that's already the law. Why are they going after us? We're the ones that help keep the peace. We're the ones, like, when police and sheriffs and deputies, and they show up on a scene and they see that there's a good guy with a gun who already took care of business, that's us. That's you and I. We're the ones that actually save lives and prevent cops from having to engage bad guys in many cases. Not all the cases, but in many cases. most of the cops and sheriff's deputies love the fact that there are honest, law-abiding, armed citizens, because it's us that may have to come rescue you. They know that, the men and women in blue, they know sometimes they get jumped by three or four, you know, hoodlums, and they're getting beat up, and they're on their backs, and they're getting, you know, like foot stomped in the face or whatever. They're about to get killed. And then a citizen with a gun shows up, takes out a couple of the bad guys, saves the cop's life, man. That, you know how many times that happens? And it's going to happen more and more because society's breaking down. If you're a cop out there, if you're a Fed, if you're ATF, you should hope that good people with guns exist in society because of how much chaos there is out there. You want guns in the hands of law-abiding citizens. But this rule from the ATF does not accomplish anything like that at all. It just punishes the good people and thereby enables the actual criminals. Pretty insane. But that's my take on the situation, folks. Thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, and also brighteon.com for my videos. You want to see my preparedness videos that I've been talking about? It's at prepwithmike.com. I do demonstrate some firearms and some swords and stuff there. It's all legal, just so you know. Everything's 100% legal. I mean, that's just the way I roll, just so you know. Everything's legal, including if you see some suppressors in some of my videos, all registered with the ATF. Yes, I've got all the forms, all the documents, all the tax stamps, all that stuff. So, you know, enjoy the prepping videos. I'm trying to keep everybody alive, at least the good people who defend the innocent. That's what I'm trying to do. Thanks for listening.